Applaud Podcast, where we get to know different people's focused lifestyles and their winning disciplines. And now, your host, the one and only Peter Larson.
Thank you very much, and welcome back to yet another episode of the Flawed Podcast. Last episode, we talked about CrossFit and training. In this episode, we're talking about productivity, and we get to listen to when I speak with Harry, the founder of Sorted, an app for hyper-scheduling. What that means, you will learn in the episode. You will also learn, you know, the importance of not only having a task list, but using hyper-scheduling and, in this case, the Sorted app to have times for your tasks, to have a unified single timeline. It should be effortless, flexible. We talk about the three pillars of hyper-scheduling. We talk about the importance of time blocking, the magic select that Harry and the team have in the app. Harry is, like me, an avid reader, so we get some book tips. I'm sure most of you productivity nerds like me have read The 4-Hour Workweek, but we get some new, at least for me, exciting tips about book. This episode goes hand in hand a bit with other founders of apps, like David Brude, the lifestyle app Remente. Very proud of knowing that guy. Quite cool app for lifestyle. It's also located here in Gothenburg. We also have the Coach.me app, that's also very cool app for habits. So yeah, Sorted is a really cool app, and listen to me talking to Harry about Sorted and hyper-scheduling. Enjoy! Welcome to the podcast, Harry.
Hello everyone, this is Harry. I'm the co-founder of Sorted.
Excellent. And Sorted, we're going to talk about what that is. It's an app, I could tell you. But Harry, if someone meets you and asks you what you do or who you are, can you just give us the elevator pitch?
Yeah, sure. But this elevator pitch is about myself, not the app. Yeah, so again, my name is Harry. I'm the co-founder of Sorted. And I am also a father of two young kids, which are 5 and 2 years old. Mm-hmm. I've been traveling around for the past few years. And around 7 years ago, I met my co-founder, Leo, which he was thinking a new concept and wanted to build an app. But that was mainly for himself to use. Because both of us, like in the early days, we have been looking for and trying out a lot of the productivity apps, no matter it's on the task management side or note-taking side, just find some ways to help us in being productive. But both of us didn't buy it. He had the idea in building something for himself, and then he shared with me and showed me an early prototype. I think that was really interesting, and then somehow got into it. And in comparison with other apps, which every time it took like 3 months and then I would switch to another. Mm-hmm. I think this is a common problem of many productivity people.
Yeah.
This time with the early prototype of Sorted, I spent around 6 months and I feel like I am sticking into it. So that's why we decided to somehow put this on the app store and see if other people resonate with what we have been doing. So that's how we got started. And until now it's more than 5 years on the app store. And quite recently, we even reached 1 million downloads. So
congrats.
Thank you. Yeah. So it's quite some time and finally got some achievements.
Yes. So, I mean, that's the app. I really like it. I think it's impressive what you and Neil, was his name, the co-founder as well?
Yeah, Neil. Yeah. Yeah.
So you've been doing it for yourself first for a couple of years, and then you, let's do an app. And what, did you say 4 years?
Until now, it's more than 5 years.
Ah, 5 years. Okay. That's super cool. We're going to link to the app, and I think everyone should try it. And you also get, with the app, I think it's 14 days full functionality, right?
Exactly.
For free. Yeah, trial.
Yeah. After that, you either upgrade to Pro if you need those features, or you just keep using it for free forever.
Excellent. Excellent. But let's, before we talk about the app now, I mean, we're going to switch back to the app. Let's come back to you, Ari, because everyone likes a good story, right? So if we talk about you have two kids. Before we started recording, you told me you're traveling, you're a nomad. So
yeah.
If we talk a bit about that, what was the decision for you and your family? Because it's easy if you're single, right, to travel as a nomad, just travel the world before COVID, of course. But how did you and your family talk about traveling the world and working?
Yeah, so of course, we started this conversation between my wife and myself. I think we had this idea around 8 years ago, where initially I was reading the book for our work week, and then which promoted the idea that you can work remotely and not necessary to work a five-day full-time job. Especially with the digital era, you can actually work from anywhere. And I myself, since in the young age, I didn't travel that much. I didn't visit many places. So I really wanted to go exploring the world. From then, I have been preparing all this journey. Say I switched my job. I tried to start my entrepreneurship. And also plan for the future, basically. But there's always a but. Not long after, we had our first kid born up. And in terms of a family, we really want to have two kids because they can help each other in the long run. And even nowadays, they have a play buddy every day. So we don't need to take so much of our time taking care of just one kid. However, for babies, we are not sure if it is a good position to bring 1 year old or like a few months old babies traveling around. So what we decided is that until our second boy got all the vaccinations back home, and then we started that travel. So we officially started the travel last June. Not last June, but the one before in 2019.
Okay.
Time flies.
Okay, yeah. So you have two kids, a five-year-old and a two-year-old. I also have two kids, actually, two girls. So they are three, and the other one is 1 month, roughly.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah.
The best time.
Sorry?
The best time.
Best time, yeah. So I like the idea. I read the book, of course, for our work week. If you haven't read it, if you're a listener, please read it. I think it's a good... I mean, it's old now, but still the ideas are still, I think, fresh. There's also a company book. I think it's called Vagabonding. Tim Ferriss recommends about traveling and working from. You can work pretty much from anywhere these days. So I just wanted to get your thoughts of it. And so far, I mean, now you've been doing it for 1.5 years, roughly 2 years. The best place you've been to so far?
In terms of the environment or the scenes,
Sure.
We like the most with the Okinawa. The southern side of Japan.
Okay.
Yeah, really beautiful. They have, because it is an island, all surrounded by the sea. And they have a really strong sense in environmental protection. So okay. their coastline is really beautiful. And
isn't it Okinawa where there is like a blue zone where they live like 500 years or something?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to go to Okinawa. Okay.
So the culture is quite different from the main island.
Okay.
Yeah. And in terms of food, we like the most would be Chiang Mai in Thailand, the northern side of Thailand. Yeah. Mainly contains say red curry and mango sticky rice. So they're really delicious. We always wanted to go back to these places.
All right. Interesting. Japan and Okinawa, I haven't been, but I really want to go. I've never been to Thailand as well, so that's also on my list. So let's jump back to productivity. Have you thought about your own definition about productivity, or could you define what is...
In my term, I think productivity should be about the clarity towards your goals. So it's like drawing an arrow from a starting point, which is where you are at nowadays, to a destination, which is the goals that you want to achieve. And throughout this process, you should be clear about what you are working on, what the progress is like, and also that process should allow you to do atomic habits, incremental changes, so you can move on every day towards the goal.
Okay. So what's your goal process? Do you have like, now we just had the New Year's, at least in the Western culture. Do you have a process for that, or do you set monthly goals, or how does your goal process work?
Yeah, I tried many variations of goal settings. Most of them did not work for me. And what I end up with is just to set some life goals. Basically, 5 life goals that I want to do it in my life. And in that sense, it means it's something long terms, and that I really need a way to actually get closer to them. So to give you an example, one of my life goals would be reading 1,000 books. So what I do with that, basically I need to make sure I have a list of books that I want to read. Of course, I don't need to have a full 1,000 list yet, but at least some books that I want to read are upcoming. And then I would need to schedule time to do that. Yeah, the best case, of course, is to do it somewhere every day. But even now, I'm actually not doing it every day. I just do it once in a while. But I would still schedule my time in doing that. So it really depends on your current situation. Say right now, because I have 2 young kids, I would rather spend more time with them, especially when they are young. So that may vary a little bit. And in this case, spending time with family is also part of my another life goal, which is a family of 4. So finally, right now, we have the 4 members in our own family. It has been achieved, but at the same time, we need to maintain it. So it's still a life goal.
Yes, I see. Yeah, I see. Okay. Nice. Makes sense. I think for the 1K, 1,000 books, that's very clear.
Yeah.
But it makes sense. But how many books have you read so far?
Right now, about 100.
100. Okay. But all right.
And I'm talking about really cover to cover reading.
What did you say?
Cover to cover reading. So you read basically every word in a book.
Oh,
Of, you know, there are some syndicates or just a brief summary of books. I'm not counting those.
All right. Do you listen or do you read with your eyes, or do you do anything else?
I mostly read, but I also listen to some of them. Especially if I listen to them, say those audiobooks, I actually already read them. And then I would listen to them as a way to recap.
I see.
Yeah.
Since you're traveling so much, do you have digital books or do you prefer the real, to hold in your hand?
I do prefer holding in my hands. I had more books back home, and obviously I'm not bringing all of these books with me in terms of traveling. I may always carry one or two, and then some other times I would just buy electronic books, e-books in a sense. I like physical books more because I can write on it. I like writing notes in the books. And I think that would become my asset and a source of resources when I need to look for something in the future. And most of the time I didn't plan on selling those books out. So once they get into my bookshelf, they are there. And I can keep like referencing to different parts of different books.
Yeah. Yeah, but how do you do that when you're traveling? You bring all
it's
the books?
Hard. It's hard. That's why I only bring one or two books when I am traveling. And then I keep some other in e-books.
Okay. So sometimes, when we talk about productivity, it's like, why can't we just, this is a bit provocative question, but why can't we just, chill, relaxed and let things happen? What do you think?
Oh, of course we can do it. Of course, it really depends on personality as well as what you want to achieve in the very end. I set up some life goals because I want to feel successful in my life and be remembered if I pass away in the future. So that's why I want to clarify on the goals that I want to achieve. And in the five life goals, say 1,000 books, it doesn't sound too much, but it's also not a thing that you can easily get done by just chill and like not thinking about it. Because if you break down, I expect I would have to finish this 1,000 books goal by 20 years. So basically reading 50 books every year. And that means in average one book in a week.
Yeah,
and you can get 2 weeks of rest every year, which is pretty good. So it's a long-term goal. And basically, I need to get through it. I need to actually do something about it. And it's not just leave it alone and then that will automatically happen. So I think it comes back to the idea of productivity, that you need to move the needles over time, consistently.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with the last part there, to move it forward, small progress daily, right? You mentioned atomic habits as well. Everything comes down to a habit, I think. I'm not sure. How do you know, in your opinion, Harry, that 1K book, if we take 1,000 books as an example, that's a good goal for you? I mean, everyone is different. Some of the listeners, like 1,000 books, that's, why not 100? Or how is your process? I'm just curious, why is it good for you?
Yeah. So first of all, when I define a goal, I don't want that goal to be achieved too easily. Say, of course, you can set a goal, maybe just reading 10 books, right?
Exactly.
With a time frame, a year, let's say. That means you can spend a month or 5 weeks in reading one book. That would be kind of too easy for me. And it's also not motivated enough to move the needle. So I want to set some goals that is a little bit hard to achieve, that I need to actually take some actions, consistent actions to achieve it. But also in another point of view, we shouldn't set a goal that is so hard to achieve. Which is too big. I think thinking big is good, but always thinking too big without actions would be bad. So I'm not going to say 10,000 books in this case, because it becomes too hard for me. Like, what does that mean for 10,000? That would mean I need to finish 10 books a week.
Yeah.
So basically, I need to finish more than one book every day.
Yeah.
At the same time, I need to take care of the young kids.
Exactly.
And then work on Sorted. Yeah. And then like other things, right? So it becomes unachievable. So I think obviously it is different for everyone.
Yes.
But you need to find a way that is kind of a balance between your other goals as well.
Yeah. I want to share something, I mean, with the listeners as well. You don't have to have 1,000 books, but I use the app Goodreads. It's an app for like a social app for adding all your books. And they have a yearly challenge where you can set your yearly goal. So I actually know I had a goal, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, to read 50 books. It was quite hard. I had to read, you know, three times. I listen a lot to audiobooks, three times the speed. And still, I had to every day almost, you know, read or listen. So 1,000 books, it's impressive.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next question I have, which is actually the focus of this podcast, is like, what do you think about to-do lists? Are they good or bad, or is it somewhere in between?
Yeah, so it's somewhere in between. It really depends on how people look at it and how to use them. In general, I think list-based apps doesn't work that well. And also the idea comes from an article that we read early on by Kevin Cruz. One of the original articles came from Forbes, and he mentioned that ultra-productive people don't work on their to-do list. Mm-hmm. And instead, they schedule their tasks on a calendar, and then they work through it.
Mm-hmm.
So in our opinion, once you schedule the task to a timeline, to your day, you basically have two extra elements put into each task.
Yeah.
They are, you consider when to work on them and also how much time you're going to spend on them. With that in mind, you can only schedule that many tasks in a day, because everyone is equal. Everyone has 24 hours only. Mm. You cannot schedule too much. Naturally, you won't overwhelm yourselves. In contrast, for list-based apps, they are really good in helping you to bring down your idea. However, they are missing the way in helping you to actually work on the task, to execute them.
Yeah.
So I think that's the contrast between list-based and scheduling-based apps.
Yeah, I like it, because if I only write a list with all my tasks, I need to today, for instance, record a podcast. I need to answer some emails. I need to do this and that. If I only write it down in a big list, all of them looks like they're taking the same amount of time, right? And how should I know when to do them? I could add a layer, you know, of priority if I want to. Or I can, as you say, schedule it. We're going to come down to why we're talking a bit like this. But my next perhaps provocative question is, why should I schedule it? Why shouldn't I trust, you know, the list if I write things down, for instance? Maybe it's a bad question, but
you actually cannot trust the list. Even you put something like priorities into it. Priority should have a context, right? Like, what does it mean by high priority or like urgent stuff to you?
Yeah, true.
Right? It actually would change over time. Say today I am having a credit card statement due date. That means it has higher priority today because I need to meet this deadline, or else I need to pay a surcharge. Oh. However, this task may not be as high priority yesterday, right? So it changes over time. Another example could be, say, I need to work on a project with that I need to say interview, right? I need to record a podcast at a specific time. And like right now, it is at the night for me, 11 p.m. here. I can only do this at 11 p.m. as my very last thing of the day, even if it is super important, right? So in this case, the priority flag or some kind of systems around that doesn't really help. If we are looking at the scheduling part, we can base on like the meeting time to schedule them. And for the other tasks, we can actually fit that into my availability throughout the day. So let's say I have some scheduled meeting events, interviews events, and then for other times, they are pretty flexible. In that case, I can actually put the task on any part of the day. Again, together with thinking about how much time you're going to spend on each task, you literally would have a time span spread out for each task. By scheduling them, you also don't get too much of the lower priority stuff, because you already reserve the time to what is important today with the current context. For the lower priority stuff, which you can do it on somewhere another day, you can simply move all of them to another day. With the scheduling in mind, there is one extra benefit at this point, is that once it shows up as a timeline for you, you know like what you need to do today. It's more like an accountability partner of yourself. And you are you need to have some commitments with your own plan. And then every time you look at your own schedule, you work based on your estimate and then work through them. In case something happens, like a sudden call coming in or so, you can still quickly rearrange your plan to fit in the new appointment and so on. So I think that is really powerful in terms of mastering your day.
I mean, that how do I avoid, because I think many of the other productivity nerds that are listening right now or watching, if we're on YouTube, it's like, I want to do so many things, right? I want to also read, I want to read more books than you, you know, I want to do more stuff. Maybe I will add that to, I get an idea, you know, I use the getting things done method. We record several podcasts about that. I write it down, I capture it somewhere, and then perhaps it tomorrow looks like a good day, and then everything looks better tomorrow, right? Because tomorrow is like completely fresh, new. How do I avoid too much scheduling from your opinion and your experience?
So first of all, I think the idea of scheduling and hyper-scheduling doesn't conflict with anything about GTD. And even more, it's an extension of GTD, which helps you mainly on how to executing and working on those tasks. And to prevent over-scheduling, I think first of all is that we shouldn't think about scheduling everything too precisely. So basically what I would do in hyper-scheduling is that every day I would first roughly schedule what I want to do. So basically I look at my day and find out what I want to do, some of them even important stuff that I need to do that day. I would keep them here and move the other lower priority stuff to another day. Next thing, I would quickly rearrange them. basically the more important stuff, I will put it at the top of the list and put the others to the bottom. Then I can run, say, we have a feature called auto schedule to quickly and roughly schedule your day. We don't have to be too precise at this point because things would change and we don't know how things will pan out throughout the day. We only need to spend maybe just a couple minutes every day in doing the process I just described, and then we can start moving on and see how it goes. Once a while, I check back my day plan, check off anything that I have finished. If I have some extra time, I can actually move things earlier to work on them. Otherwise, if I need more time for my current task, I can quickly shift the rest to a later time. So it would be that process to prevent you in over-scheduling. And of course, since you have the estimate built in, the duration built in there, from the very beginning, you won't put too many tasks into the same day. So that would have actually help you to reduce the stress as well.
So what you just mentioned now, you said it a couple of times. It's a word you use on the website for the Sorted app. It's hyper-scheduling. And from my notes is that there are three pillars of the hyper-scheduling. Can you tell us a bit more what is hyper-scheduling and tell us a bit more what the three pillars and what they mean?
Sure. Hyper-scheduling, one way to think about that is on top of scheduling, there should be a way to quickly and easily to adjust your plan. And another way of thinking it is just like time blocking, but in a more concise way. It doesn't have to be same duration for every big chunk of tasks. Instead, you can break them into smaller chunks and put a different duration for each task. And in our case, we think hyper-scheduling should come with the three pillars, as you mentioned. And we also think they are the three major benefits of hyper-scheduling. The first thing is about unified. We want to bring all our related schedule together, say your tasks of the day and also your calendar events together into one timeline. So you get a clarity of what you need to do on that day. And also it helps you to sleeze in any new tasks to fit into your schedule. The second thing here is about effortless. We believe that you should spend minimal amount of time in planning your day. You shouldn't be spending, like I know some people will spend say 1/2 hour or 1 hour every day just to come up what to do that day. So it's kind of like counterintuitive in this case, because after all, productivity should help you in actually doing what you want to do, not managing those systems, right? So the third thing here is about flexible. As I mentioned before, things would change, especially in this digital era, right? There are like someone sending you messages or emails asking you something and distract you, right? A lot of time we cannot prevent that from happening, but we believe there should be a way that you can quickly adjust your plan it should be flexible enough, which in the end, you may be adjusting many times, but each time only take you say a minute or so, and then you get an updated plan.
I mean, I want to comment on some things. The word hyper-scheduling for the listeners, if you just see hyper and then any word after, it's like, oh, hyper that sounds very negative for perhaps some people, like hyper-stressed, hyperactive, etc. But I like the word you said here to clarify that on top of scheduling. So this is like a add-on of your, because most people that work in with information, they have some kind of calendar, right? And many has a Google Calendar, which I really like. And then you can have the Google Calendar, then you can use the Sorted app, and they integrate, right? So when I look at my day, and I want to share with the listeners that first, I think it was 3 weeks ago, I started using, I tested Sorted before. I thought it was, don't be angry with me now, Harry. I thought it was a bit too hot. I didn't really, you know, find a workflow. But then 2 or 3 weeks ago, I gave it, you know, full commitment, because that's how you have to do it with apps today. So I integrated my calendar. I added, moved all my tasks from Google Tasks to Sorted. So what I really like is the unification. I don't need 5 apps to see for my tasks for the day. So I really like that. And what I also like, you mentioned it quickly, but it's the auto schedule. So I can, using some magical touch, I can click a button. If I haven't set a task for a certain time, it's just a task. It doesn't have any time. The app will actually ask me, you know, do you think if I have 2 tasks that have no time, do you think they will take 30 minutes, 40 minutes, or I can set that time. And then I can also add a buffer time, which I really like, because, you know, after this podcast, I love doing podcasts, but I would need maybe 15 minutes just, you know, to calm down, relax. What did I say? What did I say? Something stupid. Was it good? Was it fun? Was it very good? So I think, and the flexibility here as well, that you can move to the next day with what do we call that on the left side? The ticker.
That's a time ruler.
Time ruler. Yes, exactly. So, I mean, if you're like me into productivity, I think you should give it a try. Full commitment for at least, what would you say, a week, 2 weeks?
Actually, only spend 2 to 3 days, and then you will know. We actually had a story. One of our really early user happens to be an Apple designer, and then he was trying a really early version of Sorted. He was committed to it already, and then he shared this piece of new idea to his friend. And what happened is that his friend originally didn't think about anything special about it. They even think other task manager, which is that many out there. This designer from Apple suggested his friend to just give it a try. Like, no matter what, just give it full commitment for 2-3 days. And after that, the friend actually came back to him saying that, oh, I now finally understand the benefit of scheduling. And he was committed to Sorted as well. You actually just made a really good point as well about doing buffer that I miss when we talk about over scheduling, right? A lot of the times people think that task manager or productivity apps in general are all about work.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. But, yes.
Yeah. But we don't agree with that. In my case, since I have family, I have kids, I would actually schedule my family stuff, my personal life into my schedule as well. In this case, the resting time should be part of it, because once you get you reserve some time for your rest, after that you can recover and get back your energy and continue your day. And for family activities or outgoing, it's the same idea. You sometimes just need to walk away from your work, from your computer, for most of us, in order to recover. So I'm happy that I spent a 4 full day of a Christmas holiday just to spend the time with my family. So this should be part of your day plan, you should actually schedule them into what it looks like in your day as well.
Yeah. I mean, if I know how much time a task will take, or sometimes I just want to, you know, I have an idea. Let's just put it in the app, and then I will schedule it. So then it will become end up in the inbox, as it's called in the app. So I think everyone should try it. It's free. But Harry, I'm also interested in your personal workflow. How did you used to work before you started this, your own app, and how you're working now, and perhaps some other apps or systems that you're using on a daily basis, because you're running the team, right? And you have this app and you're traveling and family.
Sure. In the past, like many others, I was just following what most productivity gurus out there said. Just bring down the ideas into a list and then somehow like shift them around, basically moving between these. But it didn't work for me, as I mentioned. I now schedule my day, schedule the tasks that I want to work on every day, and then work through them. In terms of the collaboration part, especially how we communicate between our team, right now we have a team of 9 people, both full-time and part-time. They spread around the world. We have people from US, Canada, Germany, which is closer to you, right? And Russia, China, etc., right? We have different time zones as well. So most of our communications are asynchronous. We use tools like Slack or Notion to keep our notes and be able to share with each other asynchronously. However, for most of these tools, they are still missing the same important piece of Element, which is time, which is the scheduling part. So we keep looking for new tools in order to support the collaboration part of our workflow. Right now, once we have things discussed and set up in those tools, what we would do is still to bring that back into our personal workflow. So I would personally convert some of the tasks that I need to work on into Sorted so that I can schedule them to the times that fit to my own schedule. And in this case, everyone is kind of different, right? Some people are better working in the morning. Say in my case, I have kids, I must wake up in the morning, right? But for instance, like my co-founder Leo, he prefers to work at night. He's a night owl. So it's kind of different. Even we have been in the same time zone for a long time, we actually couldn't find a good time to meet because of the different, styles of working. So we always make use of those asynchronous tools so that we can collaborate.
So I see. So how are you using, I mean, what would a normal day using the app or other apps? How would a normal day look like?
Yeah, so since it's a mix of apps, generally, my day started the night before. I would look at my own schedule in Sorted, see what I want to do the next day, and quickly pick some of the important stuff to work on and move the rest to the other day. Instead of using the auto schedule, I will first manually shift things around. Basically, I want to do this particular task. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to do this task at a certain time. Then I will use the time ruler to shift them. A lot of time, two or three tasks are actually related to each other. I will first put them at the same time to give me a rough idea of what I want to work on the next day. And then I will go to sleep. In the morning, I will look at my schedule again and see how I actually want to plan out my day, what to work first, what's my energy level look like in the morning, and decide how I'm going to approach them. I would either run auto schedule on a full day basis or partially just for say only the morning or the afternoon. Then I finally get a schedule that I want to work on, then I will just start working on them. Throughout the day, depending on what I'm going to work on, say if I have a meeting, then likely I already have a calendar event in place. I can know all the information from there. And we always conduct our meetings over either Zoom or Google Hangout. Then we would jump on the call, talk about them. Since I work from home most of the time, we just have everything set up already. So we can easily just turn on the camera, turn on the light, and then we can start talking. For the other parts, a lot of our conversations actually happen in Slack. We would just write in threads about our discussions. We have our team channels that we can always share the latest news, and they can read it at any time in their own time zones, in their own working styles. So that's mostly about it. I also kind of do something like, if everyone knows, is bullet journaling. I'm more on a digital, I'm more a digital person, but I like to write instead of just typing. I would write it down in bullet journal format on my iPad. And by the end of the day, I will see if they still make sense. If yes, and I didn't finish them yet, I will convert them into tasks and then put it into Sorted so that I can schedule it further.
I know the bullet journal. I read a lot about it, but I haven't integrated it myself. And that leads me to the next question. Like, how can we avoid, you know, tomorrow it will be a new app. Tomorrow some new gadget will come. I love gadgets. I love, you know, apps. I love to try new things. But how can we avoid, you know, new shiny objects? So what's your tips?
I guess with creativity in mind, we don't need to limit ourselves in trying new shiny things. Actually, feel free to try out, right? A lot of times, they don't cost much to try. So just give it a try. However, I think we should always come back to what we actually want to do, right? If you have your own goals, if the goals are so important to you, you need to have a consistent way in achieving that, right? Just like the atomic habit idea here, it helps you to build up the habit, but eventually it helps you to achieve your goal. So you need to find a way to consistently do it. And by consistency, I mean the process should be kind of automatic. It's habitual. It's something you don't need to think too much, and you can easily get it done that day. It may be spending a minimal amount of time. It may be something that is in your sight that you can easily get it and work on it. You set up your environment to fit the way you work, so you are able to move your needles closer to your angle.
Okay, so if I understand correctly, you think it's good to try. It's okay to try new things as long as you keep an eye on, like, your goals, maybe your life goals like you have, or what like your first principles, why are you here? I mean, what makes you happy? And that could be an app. I myself would give the tip, as we talked a bit about, if you're testing an app, I would say set the timeline, you know, make it 3 days, as you said, or I would say for most apps, at least a week, you know, to try to, if you want it to be an integrated part. If it's a game, you know, you don't need, but for me, I love productivity. I love the feeling of getting things done. And when you mention habits, I know I like the app, so that's why I'm telling you this, the listeners, you know it, Harry, but if I want to make a habit, I could create a task in the app, and I can make it coming back, you know, the next day. So when I, it's a great feeling to tick off something. This is done today. But for me, for instance, let's say it's to eat vegetables every day. So now today I've already eaten, tick, and tomorrow it will come back, because I said it will come back every day for 30 days or for a year or something.
Yeah. So that's a repeating task.
Yeah. So it's quite easy to do. Okay, we mentioned Magic Select. Did we mention Magic Select? No, we didn't.
Want to say something about it? Yeah, sure. What we mentioned is that it should be flexible to make changes to your day. In a lot of like conventional apps, when you need to change your plan and you have many things to do that day, you basically need to go to each of those items, no matter it's a task or an event, to make adjustments. And we find that it is like so difficult in doing all this. It becomes a chore to kind of just making some small changes, but to a bunch of stuff. So we have been thinking how to approach this. Magic Select is our answer. By Magic Select, it's a gesture. It's a basically one swipe gesture, but you can start by swiping to the left, hold it there, and then moving up or down. What it does, it helps you to select multiple of the items in your day. And after selecting them, the time ruler will show up. So you can shift the time ruler to basically say, I want to shift these 5 selected tasks to a later time of the day by 2 hours. Then they all can move together, shift behind for 2 hours. And also, if I have a 3 selected item by Magic Select, and these things do not fit into the current day anymore, I can basically pull up the calendar drawer and then tap on another day to move all of them to another day. So Magic Select by itself is a way to quickly select a bunch of items. It works together with other parts like Magic Select and auto schedule, etc. To quickly and flexibly make changes.
It's if you're a listener driving the car, I think it might be hard to understand, but I think either I will put a link to a video, like a short YouTube clip, or even better, test app. For me personally, I had some problems, you know, maybe a day or two just to understand, you know, the concepts with auto scheduling and time ruler, and this Magic Select, as you said, but now I feel like this is very smart to select several, and I don't have to, you know, click or I can just go. It's hard to explain actually, but very smart. Did you come up with it? How did you come up with it?
So this is one of the original ideas that my co-founder Leo has. We were doing the same thing of like picking each item one by one, right? And that was really slow in a way. And one day, basically, it's just a sparkling idea. He thought about, oh, maybe we can use one gesture to do that. And to basically go into the gesture thinking, it is based on another gesture that became really common nowadays. So you know the pull to refresh from Twitter. So actually there was a guy inventing this gesture and they got a patent around that and later on sold it to Twitter. So that's how Twitter was kind of the first app implementing this and make it as like the first move and everyone else is doing the same thing. Yeah, so we kind of did the same figure out this gesture. And yeah, after testing it out with a few people, a few friends, close friends in the early days, everyone is so into it. Like I, for instance, when I first saw this gesture, I always felt, oh, it's really interesting. It is something that we can explore more. I haven't seen something like that for a long time. So yeah, so that's how we got it started.
Really nice. So what do you think for new users that is the most maybe misunderstood or what's the biggest mistake? Because I'm still a new user for Sorted. What tips can you give me and the listeners?
Sure. I think one of the major misunderstandings about hyperscheduling or even scheduling in general is that you have to prepare a really precise schedule. So it's not about whether it is done to 1 minute, but it's more about once I set a plan for a certain task, it's so rigid that you cannot make changes on it anymore, right? So say I want to work on check my financial status at 3 p.m., for instance. So this thing is really personal and no one forced you to do it and you don't have to do it that day, that time, right? So we think that scheduling in this context, you just roughly put a time there to make sure you will be spending time in doing that. It doesn't mean to be a rigid schedule that you can never change how it works. So that's why it's somehow different from most of the calendars out there. Because once you put something into a calendar, it feels like, oh, it's just will be there. And because it's so hard to make changes, you are not going to make changes to that at all, right? So give it a try. Start by roughly schedule them. And also at the very beginning, you don't need to schedule too much to the day. Just pick like 2 to 3 things into your schedule, plan about it, think about the duration, and then start working on them. After a few days, you will start to get a pattern on how many tasks you can work on any day and how long you should budget, no matter it's the task itself or the buffer time in between.
Nice, good tip. So to emphasize, maybe schedule 3 things for, I will try it tomorrow, schedule 3 things, see what happens. Okay, so do you, I mean, you are obviously a reader with your goal of 1,000 books. Well, if you give us top 3, you already mentioned one, I guess, for our work week.
Yeah.
Do you have a couple of more tips?
Sure. The second book I would recommend is called Remote by the folks behind a popular web application, Basecamp. They talk about how you can be working remotely. One key takeaway from this book would be how they built Basecamp for the first version, they gave a really cool example that they calculate the number of hours you need to take for your commuting to your office. And generally, for general person, it took around 2 hours every day to do that. By like a year of time, you actually took hundreds of hours in just commuting. However, the first version of Basecamp was finished within, I don't remember the exact number, but something around 54 hours only.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, so basically, if you don't travel, you don't commute, you can already build a few types of a Basecamp. So that's really amazing.
I haven't read that book. I will add that to my to my reading list.
Yeah.
You have any?
The other book would be Deep Work from Cal Newport. He talks about how you should be focusing your time in doing one thing at a time. Especially with the digital age we are in, we have so many distractions. Then how can we focus on our time in working on your important goal? Even it is just 2 hours of deep focus every day, it may be equivalent to 8 hours or so.
All right, so Cal Newport. I just wanted to comment on that one. Have you read his other book, Digital Minimalism? Yeah, I really liked it. Did you like that book or did you prefer the old one?
Yes.
Deep Work. Yeah.
I think the two books are really related to each other. Deep Work is more on the conceptual side and Digital Minimalism is more on the practical side. They actually link up it to each other. And I think Deep Work came out first, right? Yeah, so it's more like a foundation of his whole concept.
Okay.
And I think Cal Newport recently released a new book as well. And essentially that is more like a journal book, which is the most practical side on how you actually can go through your day. In terms of high level concept, I think that is exactly what we do with Sorted as well. So we are kind of like in a really similar idea and talking about similar things just with different words.
Are you a gadget person? Do you have any gadgets for productivity?
I have many gadgets, but if you ask me for one thing, I will actually talk about a water bottle that I recently got. So it's just like $2, $2 water bottle like this. The interesting thing about a water bottle is that it really helps you in building habits and eventually achieve your goals, right? Actually, I was inspired by my wife on like making myself healthier. And the suggestion is that we just get a bottle. Once you get a bottle, and then you can easily set a goal, say, I want to drink 2 liters of water every day, which is supposed to be the normal amount.
Yeah.
And what I do is basically I need to drink 2 bottles of this. And every morning I put it in full, put it on my table. Once in a while, I would just like keep drinking it. And once you have a bottle like this, actually you can drink a lot, like every here and there, and then you keep drinking. I think that's the aspect of the visual element. Once you see it, once it is in front of you and you don't even need to go somewhere to get it, you will keep doing it. So that's how I build up this new habit of myself. And I think there is a lot of a correlation in being productive or achieving goals as well. You should put it right here, make it easy to work on,
yeah,
then you can become consistent in doing this. So I think this yeah, would be also a really good analogy in doing any
goal. So it's like if I heard something the other day, it's like if then this, so if you wake up in the morning, then you fill up the water bottle and then you drink the water bottle pretty much. And if the water bottle is empty, fill it up. Yeah, yeah. Yes, exactly, yeah. Exactly.
And also buy a bigger bottle, then you don't need to fill up many times, right? Like after all, yeah. I don't even need to remember, right? Every morning, do it once. No matter how long I finish the first bottle, once it is finished, just go to like fill it up again. You only need to do that once. Yep. For every part, and
good,
then
good analogy.
It becomes so
I
easy.
Think most people can understand, and at least where I am here in Sweden, where many people don't drink enough water, but don't drink too much because then you have to go to the bathroom all the time, right? Looking into the future, where do you think your productivity is going? Where is the app, your company? Where is it going? Can you give us some like predictions? Of maybe 5-10 years, 5-10 years, yeah,
for sure. Yeah, and even if we are not looking too far, quite recently we already see a new trend coming up. Many productivity apps are more or less getting this time element and the scheduling concept into their own app. No matter is the more traditional ones or some newcomers, we do think that scheduling will be an important piece. No need to be long, like it started already. And I guess part of it is that more people are aware of the importance of time. They now finally understand how precious time is. So that's the demand side, and that's why we have the supply side in more people making apps related to scheduling. So from what we do in Sorted, I guess one of the major pieces we have been working on and really want to work on is to promote the idea of hyper-scheduling. It just happens that we are coders, not authors. So we use Sorted as a tool, as a book of ourselves to promote the idea. People use the app, get into it, learn about the concept. So that's what we want to do. And to further on, in order to make it available to more people, we want to bring Sorted into at least multi-platform, for instance, say like building the website for it. We know from our feedback that a lot of our users, they have an iPhone, for instance, but in their work, the computers are given to them. It may be on other platforms so that right now they cannot access the data inside Sorted. Yeah, so that use case really makes sense. So we want to build more on the multi-platform side and
so
also make it available.
I'm using it on iOS. What platforms do you support today?
We have basically a full support.
Yeah, that's right.
On
I have
Apple
it on my Mac. Yeah.
We have it on iPhone, iPad, the Apple Watch. Yeah, and also the Mac. We only recently launched our Mac app to the App Store. This is something that our users have been waiting for so long. Yeah, so that's what we have now. We hope to also bring it to at least the website and maybe later on to Android, etc.
So scheduling, you think, will become a part of the future? All right. Where can people learn more about the app? If we start with the what's the URL for the app?
Yeah, so everyone can visit our website at sortedapp.com, sortedapp.com. And they can also feel free to reach out to me with
are you also on the social media?
harry@sortedapp.com. Yeah, I'm on Twitter as well. My handle is Harry World.
We will link to everything on float.se/podcast. And you can click on this episode as well. Is there anything else that we have that you want to mention, that you want to highlight?
Yeah, I think that's about it. I guess just to recap, if you are not sure if hyperscheduling is a thing for you, my recommendation is to give it a try for at least 2 to 3 days. Put some tasks of yourself into it, commit to it just for that few days, then you can feel by yourself. We also have some guides in the app which talk about the concepts, talk about the background story, and how you can approach in starting your hyperscheduling journey. Yeah, check it out.
You can the find last question, on, Harry, before
Store
I let you go.
My app store.
K-Wink, knowing what I now know, what would you have done differently, maybe in the last 10 yeah. years that you know today, if you had a time machine?
Sure. I think I should spend more time in app development, because as we can see now, for the past 10 plus years, the mobile phone, the smartphones really changed the world. The one we are using, iPhone, is 11 years now, and that makes a huge jump in the technology field, as well as the whole world. If I could spend more time focusing on it rather than doing other business stuff, I think I
what did you work
have,
with before?
Progress a lot more. A few different businesses, like I ran a dance school in the past. And also did some internet marketing stuff. Yeah, a few startups as well. Okay. Yeah, so quite different.
All right.
Fields,
I mean, that was a lot of information, and great to talk to you, Harry. I love the app. I will keep using it, and I recommend everyone to at least try it. It's free, and the pro free feature, the pro features are free for 2 weeks when we're recording this as well. Take care, and talk to you maybe some other time. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Harry. Thank you.
Thank Bye-bye. You all very much for inviting me to the show. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode. And thank you to Harry for taking the time, and thanks to Harry's team for creating Sorted App and sharing your new concept with hyperscheduling and also the app. I think it's great. Try it and let me know what you think. Thanks also to Erik Rådbo, the founder of the Flawed Theme, or the creator of the Flawed Theme, the epic theme you hear in the background. Thanks, Erik. Please give us a 5-star review, comment, share, like, so you could help me and Harry spread the message of productivity and hyperscheduling, as we talked about in this episode. Also, I would encourage you to compare and contrast this episode with, for instance, episode 19, where I interview Tony Stubblebein, the founder of Coach.me, another app that is more into habits. And also, I would encourage you to listen to episode 35, where I interview David Brude,
the founder of Rement, the app, a lifestyle app for changing your life to the better. I think all these apps combined would help you if you're into digital lifestyle. And of course you are into productivity, because, you know, Ray Dalio pretty much says productivity is, you know, the meaning of life almost. So of course you are, because you listen to this podcast, right? And one of my favorite apps for productivity, journaling, digital minimalism, digital lifestyle is Evernote. I used it every day pretty much since 2010. I know it quite well. I also educated myself in the app, so I'm an Evernote certified consultant, or ECC for short. So I can and could help you and or your organization to increase your productivity. Just let me know, send an email, pl@flawed.se. But don't take my word for it. You could listen to, I think we have 5 or 6 episodes, maybe more, about Evernote. And I would encourage you to listen to episode 47, 48, 49, 50, 51 to learn more about Evernote and different concepts. Also, while we're talking about productivity and concepts, I created a framework for productivity called Focused Productivity. It's an online course, also a couple of episodes on the podcast. Let me check which. So episode 47 and 48 is about that concept. I think that was it for this time. I want to thank you very much for taking the time out of your busy day in these troublesome times. But, you know, always keep positive mental attitude, or PMA, as Lars-Erik Unestål always says. That was it. Until next time, remember, luck fortunes the best.